Okay, so I don't know if the program has been updated to reflect this presentation on trying to use COS in practice with examples from the classification domain. Includes also some joint work with Aida Slavik. Well, obviously, you've heard about it now, so I don't know if this is useful. But, well, it's a model to represent knowledge organization system in RDF in a simple way, and I'd like to repeat again that it's not aimed at fitting everything, so it's not a surprise that it won't tackle complex faceted scenarios straight ahead. It's also not aimed at replacing existing non-WEM formats. It's really something which is meant to export knowledge organization system on the semantic web and not to replace the stuff that is existing in the cultural heritage institutions, for example, that do curate the vocabulary. It's now an official W3C recommendation, and we've got a fancy logo. So the basis of SCOS. So SCOS offers a vocabulary for concepts and concept schemes. You can represent labels. You can represent semantic relations. You can add notes to your concept. I will actually go into some of these things in later examples. But I'd like to emphasize first an important aspect of SCOS. It's about the mapping and the capacity to network controlled vocabularies using that model. SCOS provides with matching properties which, well, just come as conceptual relations, so you can express mappings between different concepts just in the same way as you would express semantic relation within one single concept scheme. And so, for example, if I've got a concept which is animals in one scheme, I can say that it's in an exact match relation with a concept animal in another knowledge organization system. And if I've got a concept cats in this first scheme, I can say that the animal in the second scheme is a broad match of it. And that's very very important because it allows to create these networks of knowledge organization system. And Johan is extremely happy to find one of his diagrams here, which actually he created to represent the context of the KB in terms of vocabularies, of classification systems. And it's not really, I guess you cannot see that, but it's actually quite good, I think, to explain the complexity of the situation and the richness of the situation. You've got here some vocabularies which are used at the KB, so the National Library here. And actually, each bubble or square represents a vocabulary in that context. And you can see that the KB has a lot of vocabularies, and these vocabularies are connected or used together with vocabularies coming from different contexts. And that's, the UDC, for example, is here. And that's very important to understand that SCOS is also aimed at representing these relationships. And I think the high-level thesaurus actually shares the same vision, so it's nice to be able to talk after the previous presentation. SCOS has been deployed in a number of cases, so I won't go back to that. Here are some pointers which you can go through, well, even though they have been already mentioned. Just willing to point at this DDC representation in SCOS that has also been mentioned, and which I'm going to come back a bit a little after. And to try to show you how you can use SCOS in practice, I will start from a small conversion example that we did in the context of the KB, and it's about the Dutch basic classification. And I will use a very simple example with two classes, one which is 2150 and the other 2151. Here are the Dutch labels. Maybe you don't need to read them, and just remind that we've got one class which stands for sculpture in general, and one subclass which is techniques and material in the sculpture domain. And we can start representing these classes as SCOS concepts. So this is done by coining a URI, an identifier for the class, so in that case NBC, the Dutch basic classification 2151, and saying that it is of type SCOS concept. The next step is to represent the relationship, the semantic relationship between these classes. So introducing 2150 sculpture in general in the loop. So I represent this 2150 as a node of type SCOS concept. So this graph is really a graphical representation of the RDF data that would be underlying. So the XML file that Dan has presented in his talk. So I have two resources which stand respectively for 2151 and 2150, and I can use the SCOS broader link to express the fact that there is a hierarchical relationship between the two. So that's the starting point, but actually there are pretty soon issues with respect to classification systems and their representation to SCOS, and that's what I'm going to talk now. So there are a number of issues which are listed on these slides, such as caption and labels, languages, time versions of classes, coordination of classes, which is related to the facet talk that we had before, auxiliary elements, actually, which is also a bit of facet-related aspect. And I'm sorry for Kerry Binning, I will not talk about coordination of classes, it's still unresolved. I will focus instead on the first three issues, because that's also what we've given a thought with AIDA. So the first issue is about notation, captions, and labels. SCOS actually provides out of the box with a link that enables representing relation, that's SCOS notation. And SCOS also allows to represent human readable preferred or alternative labels, which suit quite well the case of caption. So if I have 2151, which has the techniques and material caption, I can represent that by, again, so taking my resource for 2151, creating an assertion that says that the SCOS notation of this resource is 2151, and here I've got this specific data type, which gives a context for the interpretation of this this simple string. So that's for the notation, and I can have a preferred label, so that's meant for the preferred human simple access to the class, and that's the techniques and material string in English. The problem that we pretty soon have is that there could be different choices, and in fact, in the case of notations, one can think of the notations as a preferred label as well, so they make sense for users and they can be displayed. And I think that actually in this community there are a number of maybe specific users for which the notation makes sense, and they can just use that as the preferred way to access the class. So we can represent them as labels, so actually language neutral labels. So I have added on the 2151 resource a SCOS pref label statement that says that one of the preferred label is 2151. And several preferred labels can coexist. So I have the 2151 here, and I kept the techniques and material English preferred label also attached to the resource. As long as I actually specify whether they have a language or no, I can have them coexist seamlessly into the model. Yeah, I've got this sticker, which you can maybe not read, that roughly highlights that there is a problem, because we can start having different options which are available, and that makes the issue non-trivial. The second issue I want to discuss a bit is the case of multiple languages. SCOS concept, they can have label in various languages, as I hinted. And in the case of 2151, actually, in the classification itself, it comes as a Dutch classification with English translation, and I can represent that by distinguishing two preferred labels for the resource. One of them is techniques and material, and it comes in English, and one of them is technieken en materialen, which is the Dutch label. So far, so good, and this suits quite well the case of the Dutch basic classification. But if we go for something a bit more complex, namely the Dewey decimal classification as published on Dewey.info, what they've done is to create one concept per class and per language. So you will have one concept which stands for the taking the notation 641, you will have one concept which stands for 641 in English, which has notation 641 here, and preferred label food and drink in English, and this resource is of type SCOS concept. And the tricky thing is that they also created another concept for the French version. So there is a specific resource for the French version. It's of type SCSS concept as the previous one. It has the same notation, but the pref label is in French. And I think this actually is mainly motivated by the fact that there could be several concepts, there could be different conceptual relationship depending on the language that in which you are. So, I think it's not the case for this specific class, but there could be some classes which exist just in specific languages or classes which are involved in different relationships depending on the language which you are. There is a loose coupling between the different languages. So, and again, that's a case where actually one, what we thought would be a same issue, so the representation of several languages for a same class can be represented in different ways depending on the specific context that that we have. And what they do in DDC is to create a general resource for the class, which is 641, and which aggregates these different language-specific resources. And using the Dublin Core is version of Link. So that's an important point that I would like to remind you. We're in RDF, so it's possible, it's perfectly possible to use several models in combination. So if you want to use SCSS for representing your concept information, it does not forbid you to use something else from a completely different vocabulary if you want to represent other aspects which are less specific to the knowledge organization systems. So actually that raises quite some difficult issues, and well, especially the one of what would be a concept, and well, perhaps less ambitiously, what would be a SCSS concept. Because, well, we have this pragmatic view in SCSS that a concept is some kind of artifact, which is, well, firstly used in description, such as subject, so there is a usage dimension, which is important. It is used as a cluster for different labels with a similar meaning, so that's this distinction between the preferred labels and the alternative labels, and even sometimes the hidden label. It is also in semantic relationship with other concepts. So that's, the basis for knowledge organization system. But that's important, and I think that's actually something which is related to the case of the Dewey decimal classification decision that they had to make of having language-specific concepts and not language-independent concepts. So, but having this criteria, actually, we still have to do the job of, well, actually try to understand what qualifies as a concept for specific classifications such as the DDC or the UDC, and we have to see whether different choices can be done. And yeah, I'd like to actually give some matter to this questioning by going into this effort that we had with AIDA on trying to apply to represent some UDC classes while tracking in the light of the modifications that were done to these classes. And we started with the class 2 and its subclasses, and especially focusing on 22, the Bible, Holy Scripture. So, well, this is actually what stands at a given point in time. And now it has been changed. So 22 does not stand for the Bible, but for religions of the Far East, because obviously it's a better choice. But the problem is that we have to do a representation of that. So we had a class which has changed, and there is the question of what kind of concept we should create from the classes that we had in the former situation, in the current situation. Because, well, if we position ourselves in a rather open environment where concepts are being used outside and being reused, then it's important to be able to disambiguate what we are referring to, especially in a context which moves quite often and when the changes can be quite drastic. So the analysis we made was that each time specific version should be a SCSS concept. Well, because they are related to other versions of classes, so if I have 22 in 93, it will be related to, well, the class 2, yeah? Yeah. Okay, so they will be connected to time-specific versions. And also the classification act itself refers to a time-specific version. So a book on the Bible would be wrongly classified by 22 if 22 happens to be the notation for Far Eastern relation at the time you want to access it. So we actually went for this kind of representation. So we created one concept for 22 standing for the Bible, which is this URI, so UDC MRF for the master reference file, 22 here, and that's a specific number which I will come back to later. So that's a representation for the 22 Bible, and we do the same for the 22 Far East religions, which replace it, and we can use the Dominical vocabulary to assert is replaced by relationship between the two. But this is actually not enough because you miss the entry point, which was 22, which is crucial to access this thing. So we create a resource which stands for 22, so a reference to the abstract class itself, and following the pattern which was followed in the Dewey case, we say that this 22 class has actually two versions, the one which stands for the Bible and the one which stands for Far East religion. So that was our first thought. And actually, we went a bit back from that, thinking that notation can be seen rather as hubs for time-specific version of classes and not things which would have the time-specific version as version. So the 22 is really a place which you go when you want to when you would like to access the different versions, including the most recent one, of course. So we actually investigated the use of an aggregate link, which is which comes from the Object Reuse and Exchange initiative, and that is meant really to represent resources which are complex and being made of several things. So actually, the class 22 would be made of several time-specific versions. The problem is that it does not really stops here, and we went for a bit of tracking this Far East religion in the UDC database to see a bit what we could exploit as information there. So, and this is the information that can be found in the database. So there is a class ID, a notation, a description. So the religions originating in the Far East, which I wrongly calling Far East religion for the sake of the presentation length. And there is this nice information that replace that says that this Far East religion replaces actually a former instantiation of the Far East religion notion, which was standing in the 299.5 class, which was religion of Oriental people and which was given an ID, which was 15999. And there is the information connected to the notation itself that says that 22 was Bible beforehand. So you actually have two things. The first one is that Far East religion replaced Bible in the context of the notation 22, but also that Far East religion was existing beforehand in the UDC as 299.5. And that's very interesting information which we can reuse to make our representation, including the identifier. So these numbers that I had mentioned in the previous slide, they come from this UDC database. This slide is a bit redundant now. So highlighting again that Far East religion existed before, so it does not, the concept does not belong to 22 alone. There is something more abstract to it, which has a conceptual content which may be updated while the concept keeps its position in the hierarchy. I could change the caption, for example. And the concept might be moved in the notation hierarchy and still retain its conceptual content. So the very concept of Far East religion has not changed much between the moment it was standing as 299.5 and the moment when it is 22. And we can deal with that by representing concepts across notation. So this is So this part is the concept of Far East religion as, well, in the context of the 22 notation. So this is the same resource as I had on the previous slide, but I can introduce a new resource which stands for religions of Oriental people, standing in the 299. So I think it's five. I must have made a mistake. And we say that this former religions of Oriental people has been replaced by our Far East religion in the later version. And again, we can actually to denote the to represent the fact that there is some more abstract concept behind this, we could create a new resource which would stand for the general idea, the general concept of Far East religion, and which would serve as a hub and as an access point to the different time-specific versions. So, which would be more stable. So this thing could be used to track the different time-specific embodiments of every individual concept. So having a very quite complex graph, actually it's just the combination of the two previous ones, but showing that we have actually two different versioning and aggregation mechanisms which are at work at the same time. So we have aggregations of concepts as notations, and we've got time versioning of concepts which can go through through versions. And these two things actually coexist in the way the UDC is handled. And if we want to capture appropriately what's happening, we should give a try to that that sort of thing. So a bit roughly, because I think now I have not more time. 5 minutes, okay. including the questions, I guess. So as a conclusion, so just trying to have a take-home message. So SCoS is an interoperability enabler. So the basic that we have seen is actually common. So there are still concepts, there are still semantic relationship between these concepts, and these things would be represented in the same way in UDC as they would be represented in DDC. The problem is that there are still issues on the margin of what the scope of SCoS was. And actually, we can have different conversions which reveal different choices, different approaches to what concepts are. So really the marginal things that which can be very important in some specific application context, even though these specific application contexts might be shared by hundreds of libraries. But that's, well, actually, that's not really a new problem. That's pretty much all you have when you are dealing with standardizations. You often need some best practices and use case to have the use of the standard stabilized a bit and to see what the problems are and how you should tackle them. And well, going, for example, in your effort for extending SCoS for faceted, for representing the facets, what could think about trying to stabilize an extension of SCoS for this versioning and aggregating mechanism, which would be common to UDC and to some other classifications which are handled the same way. The fact is that now, and a bit as opposed as it is before, it's easier to publish and compare data. So you can compare in a more easy way these practices around. So the people at DDC, they have published the data, and it was pretty clear to see what the choices were. And if UDC publishes data as well, it will be easy to see what the choices are and to work together into some kind of reconciliation or at least clarification of the situation. Why are the model different in some aspects and why they are similar on some other aspects? As a final message, continuing in the direction that Dan had highlighted, the interaction between information experts and more techie people is crucial in that kind of effort. So actually this collaboration with Aida was pretty much fruitful, I think, because she was able to bring a thorough understanding of what happened in the vocabulary, without which we could not have spotted these problems in such a detailed way. So thank you very much. I will welcome any questions. And just as a final mention, some work of people that we've drawn inspiration of.